This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm hoping the Big Ten has to modify their system for us.
Probably like getting grade 10 sandpaper rubbed on your face every day.
I mean, we say it all the time, whether, you know, there's two types of turds, you're a sinker or you're a floater, but you're still a turd, right? I mean,
we are about players and players playing the plays and not necessarily the plays.
Welcome to the Varsity Club Podcast. My name is Derek Peterson. First and foremost, thank you for downloading, for listening to, rating and sharing and reviewing this show. I really appreciate it. If you like this show, know that Hail Varsity has other podcast offerings that are in fact better with a lot less blabbering. So head to hailvarsity.com/network to get caught up on all of those podcasts. Also, the 2021 Nebraska Football Yearbook is drawing near. It's our passion project, our pride and joy. It's one of the coolest things that I've ever worked on, frankly. And I've done three of them now, I think. Because this will be my fourth. And it's coming up soon. So make sure you are a Hail Varsity subscriber so that you can secure your copy of the yearbook. Don't wait. You don't want to get caught in that like interim where the yearbook is coming out. You know it's coming out. You know you want it, but you're a little past the deadline to get it. Go subscribe to hailvarsity.com. It's HailVarsity.com/subscribe. This week, Greg Smith and I chatted on Thursday for a video that went up on our YouTube page and our website Friday about the running backs. Maybe you've seen that video already. Maybe you haven't. I don't know when you're listening to this. Seeing as I intended to base this week's podcast on the running backs as well, rather than recording the same thing twice, we're just going to cut and paste a little snippet of that convo here on this feed. Just a little table setting first. In case you missed it, Ronald Tompkins went into the transfer portal this week. Here is hoping that he lands somewhere and gets his career back on track. For him, a two-year tenure in Lincoln was pretty tough sledding. He redshirted his first year, and then he opened the 2020 season as the number two back before inconsistencies in practice availability caused him to fade down the depth chart a little bit. This spring, it seemed to me at least like Tompkins was losing ground. Nebraska has Marquise Stepp, who probably frankly lost a little ground himself, just because Nebraska also has a trio of freshman backs who I think and a lot of other people think made the most of their spring opportunities, is what it sounds like. Marvin Scott III and Jacques Yant, both second year players, both freshmen by eligibility, and then Gabe Irvin Jr., a first year freshman. So a lot of youth on the depth chart, a lot of youth at running back, and I think most people sort of taking a microscope to this room, to this group, probably would have expected one guy at least to look elsewhere after the spring, just because there are so many options. Now, what this says about the room going forward, I'm unsure. I still personally think that Ryan Held has put together an impressive collection of talent, but the hard truth is that the Nebraska running back room, we're going to limit this to five scholarship guys, and Yant, who's a walk-on that they don't view as a walk-on, but he's still a walk-on. Those six guys have a combined 661 rushing yards, give or take a couple yards. Math was not my strong suit. 153 carries, so it works out to about 4.3 yards per carry for those that are away from a calculator. And they have one Big Ten start amongst them. Stepp has 3/4 of the yardage and about 2/3 of the carries. He obviously doesn't have any Big Ten starts. And it doesn't seem as likely now as it did a few months ago that he'll get the keys to the car. Tompkins' loss doesn't bite into returning production, if at all. It does clear up the picture at running back maybe 10% or so heading into the summer and fall months. I say 10% because, I mean, I expected, coming out of the spring, I expected Stepp and Scott and Irvin. Maybe you could throw Yant in there. I'm a sucker for Savion Morrison. I expected those kind of three guys at the top, the first three names that I gave, to be the top contenders for snaps as we kind of head into the summer months and get close to fall camp. But Tompkins' departure also opens the door to a potential discussion that we might have to talk about a little bit in the future. Just keep in mind for now that Tompkins is out. Ramir Johnson might be looking up at a few guys on the depth chart. And Breece Hall is a returning first-team All-American for Iowa State at running back. When Hall... his stepdad was an IBAC for Nebraska. So when Breece Hall got a Nebraska offer in the 2019 class, he told our own Greg Smith, who you're going to hear from in a little bit, that, quote, "It felt good because I'm from Omaha, and it felt good to know that I could be playing in front of my family. The Nebraska one meant a lot because my stepdad played for Nebraska, so he really wanted me to get that one." End quote. Nebraska took Tompkins and Johnson and Dedrick Mills in the 2019 class. And Hall, despite being a legacy guy in the 500-mile radius, he's playing out of Wichita, Kansas, he went to Ames. In two seasons now with the Cyclones, because he played right away, Hall has 2,469 yards. He has 30 touchdowns. And he has a 5.3 yards per carry average on his runs. Also, he had one of college football's best quotes last year. When after beating Texas, he said five-star culture beats five-star players, or five-star culture versus five-star players, basically saying, yeah, you can keep the recruiting rankings. We're going to keep doing what we're doing over here. It's like the perfect guy for a locker room. Coaches love that kind of mentality. And two seasons from Mills and Tompkins and Johnson combined, now Johnson still has ways to go, still has some time to go. Nebraska has gotten 1,259 yards. Mills has a lot of that. 13 touchdowns at a clip of 4.8 yards per carry. So significantly less production from three guys than from one guy. Now, Ramir still has time. I still like Savion Morrison. Like I said, Yant or Irvin could pop and be really good. Scott is intriguing. And it's important to just reiterate that these things happen to everyone, everywhere, all the time in recruiting. It's the way the world works. It happens all the time. But these kinds of near misses probably need to stop happening to Nebraska, or at least stop happening at the frequency that it seems like it happens. Hall might be a Heisman dark horse this season. He finished sixth in balloting last year. He led the country in rushing. He's already one of the best backs in the country after 2 years. So it's just something to keep in mind. Here's my conversation with Greg about the running backs. I got Greg Smith with me. Greg, hello.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I wore a specific hat just for you. And in a little bit, we'll break out the Phoenix Suns gear that I have specifically to troll you.
I don't know why you would want to put some garbage like that on, but hey, I guess you're trying to find something worse than this Cubs gear you got.
To anybody that is watching this and may have watched the, I guess, first iteration of it on Tuesday or whenever you watched it, we're just talking about the taking stock of running back series that I have been doing on hillvarsity.com. Well, it's not a running back series. It's taking stock of position group series that I've been doing on HailVarsity.com, running through every single position group on the team as we exit spring ball, and just sort of resetting the field for where we're at. Greg and I got together, and I'll give you kudos again. This was Greg's idea. Thank you, Greg, for this. More content. Keep the wheel churning. Greg had the idea to just get together and talk about it a little bit more in front of a camera so that you guys could watch it on YouTube. Because Husker fans are awesome in the sense that they will never stop wanting to talk about Nebraska football. So we talked about outside linebackers on Tuesday. time is a flat circle. And we're going to talk about running backs today. We did defense. We're going to do offense today. And Greg, buddy, this is a weird room. This is a very weird room. And I kind of, I'm high on this room. I'm high in the sense that I am optimistic about the talent that Ryan Held has accumulated and added to this group. But as we exit spring ball, Marquis Stepp didn't participate in the spring because of pre-spring surgery. We found out that like Ramir Johnson missed a lot of the spring. Ronald Tompkins missed time and has since departed. He's in the transfer portal. Guys missed with like bumps and bruises here and there. And it seemed like really like Marvin Scott and Jacques Yant were maybe the most consistent of the bunch in terms of just being on the field. And so like for me specifically, I've kind of, and I'm going to center this conversation on Stepp for a second, just because I think he can kind of be emblematic of the whole. I kind of thought it's not a big deal if he misses the spring, because he's, I mean, regardless, he's going to be your most experienced back going into the fall. So as long as he's okay for the fall, you're fine. Mm-hmm. But, you know, at the end of the day with the skill position, sometimes the best ability is availability. And it seems like with this running back room, though there is talent, and I forgot to mention Savion Morrison, who also missed time in the spring, though there is talent, availability doesn't seem to be an ability that is in great supply. Does that worry you about this running back room? I think that's the place to start.
Yes, that is to me the biggest worry for me about this room is the lack of availability through the spring. And I think that, and it goes hand in hand with something else that concerns me after that, is that it just isn't long the position group as a whole on experience, right? And so the only guy that really has that experience, Marquis Stepp, that you mentioned, but he doesn't have it at Nebraska in this system and in this conference. And so I just worry that it's going to be an adjustment, because I was not with you. We've talked about this like off video, like before, not just today, that I was not with you on that. I was concerned all along that Stepp missed the spring, because I just think that getting acclimated to everything just takes some time, and that it's harder than you would think to just hit the ground running in the fall. While he might be able to do that, and that's now the best case scenario, I just think that's tough. So yeah, the lack of availability through the spring for multiple guys as they now then head into this huge summer in which they're still battling. Like, we still don't know. And we also don't know 100% when Stepp is coming back and when he's going to be right. So there's also that kind of mystery cloud that's hanging out there too. It's just the position, like you said, is just, it has talent. And so you can't just write it off, but it's still a mystery and kind of a grab bag on what you actually can expect to get from the group.
So Tompkins entered the transfer portal, like I mentioned. It sucks. It sucks for him. Knee injuries suck. They kind of take more than just the allotted like recovery timetable before you're medically cleared to come back from knee injuries, mm-hmm. particularly like ACL tears. Sometimes they just suck. Sometimes you need a change of scenery. So Tompkins is moving on. I wish him nothing but the best. It leaves Ramir Johnson as the guy from that class, 2019 class, right? So they took three, because Wando was technically an all-purpose back. So they took three backs in that class, and two of them have left. And Ramir Johnson is the only one remaining, and he seems like he might be a little buried on the depth chart. This has become a theme with Nebraska, where we talk about barren recruiting classes, either on the whole or it's at key positions. Are you potentially worried about that 2019 crop of running backs maybe causing problems for the running back room from a depth standpoint or just from a development standpoint on the whole? We don't have to spend a ton of time on this.
No, actually, and a lot for the same reason that I'm not concerned about it from the wide receiver. It's the same reason. It's because they continue to bring guys in. Like, you have to give them that. Like, yeah, there's been departures, but there's been no shortage of other guys backfilling that. And in part, and really even more at running back, the reason why those guys have been moving on or will continue to move on potentially is that there are other guys that are the same age or younger that there may be looking up at on the depth chart.
We could, I did a stock rising section in my piece where I had Ryan Held as somebody whose stock is rising, which I think it should, because I think he's a wonderful coach with head coaching experience who probably should start getting some looks here in a couple of years as long as he keeps building talent. I also had Jacques Yant in that section for stock rising. But in reality, I could have put three guys in this, and the three that benefited the most from this spring probably in Yant, Gabe Irvin, who's a true freshman, early enrollee, and Marvin Scott, who's in his second year. Greg, let's talk specifically about Irvin, because he's kind of the new guy to the room. He's the one everybody is excited about. I have referenced this before. I did a piece for Hail Varsity looking at true freshman running back production. It's really hit or miss. It's not really contingent on whether you are a high star recruit or whatever for who produces the most, but you're either producing a ton like AJ Dillon level at Boston College, or you're getting like 100 yards and not a ton of touchdowns, not a ton of opportunity. A lot of them are redshirting. Do you think, and we've talked about this before, as we're a little bit more removed from spring now, and you've been able to digest everything that was kind of said about Irvin and everything that we saw from Irvin in the spring game, and then we got to talk to him a little bit after the spring game, do you think that he is a legitimate contender for snaps this fall?
Yes, absolutely. I think he's a legitimate contender for snaps. I think he's a legitimate contender to start as a true freshman, which it's surprising. I can't even stutter over it, because it's not even that you didn't know what to expect from him as a true freshman. It just wasn't he just wasn't someone that when he signed, you thought, oh yeah, he's going to be a guy that's going to come in and compete. But then I had to remember one of the things that I do say kind of quite a bit is that once guys get here, all bets are off, because the star ranking really doesn't matter. And it becomes a lot about the type of room that you entered. And there was not a better situation maybe on the team than the room that he entered to be able to then get a shot to, you know, make an impact during the spring and then play, right? And it seems from all accounts that he has made the most of that opportunity. And so I feel really confident in saying that he's going to be in the mix to play this season. I definitely think that he's a stock up guy right now.
Yeah, and he's a guy that's got good size for a true freshman. He's got good feet. Mm-hmm. Seems like he took well to the playbook pretty early. And like you said, I mean, all bets are off whenever those guys get here. And in a lot of instances, like the guys that have the best first year are the guys that you don't expect to have the best first year. Like the five-star guys are gonna get their, you know, role as a backup or a third string or a utility guy that comes in on third down or whatever, and they're going to do what they do because they're really talented. But like you said, sometimes fit and the room that you walk into is the most important. And like, if we learned anything from this spring, it's that the running back room is just completely wide open. We have no idea who's going to be the starter. We have no idea who's going to be the backup. We have no idea if the starter in week one is going to be the starter in week six or whatever it is. Yeah, it's the field is constantly shifting. Does that excite you because there is potential? Does that worry you because we don't know? Like, where are you at with this running back room, just in terms? Because like one of the sections of this piece, of this recurring piece, is fall outlook, and I said a lot of optimism there, a lot of opportunity there. Someone got to go grab it. So are you glass half full with this room, or are you glass half empty with this room?
I am glass half full because I do believe in the talent that they have in the room, and that somebody is going to go grab this thing during the summer. And you know, I think it was the last time that we talked to Ryan Held right before the spring game, in which I thought he was as honest and open as you've seen a coach outside of that time. We talked to Greg Austin really this spring, where he was just great that one time for it felt like 25 minutes. I thought Held was really honest about like what he needed to see from his guys in the summer. That was when he gave the now famous, like, it's going to be Rocky IV this summer. But he talked about within that answer, and that got all the attention, but within that answer, he talked about which guys needed to lean up and how they needed to be looking at their diet during the off season. And when it was hot outside, they needed to be out on a field sweating and, you know, all the little things that they needed to do. And he basically, through the media, issued a challenge to those guys saying, hey, these carries are here and they're available. Somebody needs to step up. And I think that kind of fires me up. So hopefully, as for those guys that are hearing that, one of them or two, hopefully for Nebraska's sake, decides that, hey, I'm going to take this challenge. I'm going to take the ball and run with it.
I just want you to know that I was going to borrow a segment from your podcast, Coach Speak. And I was going to read off this Rocky IV quote and ask you, what in the hell is Ryan Held talking about with this Rocky IV thing? And now I can't do that because you just told me what he was talking about.
Sorry.
So you ruined my segue in a way to plug your podcast. But man, yes, no talk about Greg's podcast. but this Rocky IV quote was awesome. It needs to be Rocky IV. We got to get in there and get after it. And then be ready to go this fall. I like the room, but we don't have anybody that's returning with a whole bunch of experience. Our guys are hungry and they know that the questions are out there. What does the room look like? And that's motivation for us. That's great. We need that. We're not going to make any excuses. We've got to get it done. And that was one thing that I appreciated about Ryan Held and really a lot of the offensive coaches this spring was that no excuses were made from the offensive coaches, from the assistants. You could say the same thing about a guy like Tony Tuioti on defense. No excuses were made. There was a sense of urgency when we talked to Held. And then when we talked to Greg Austin, who is the run game coordinator, sort of by extension about the running game and the running backs, it was a lot of, it wasn't good enough last year, which, I mean, if you look at, like, you could look at what happened with Dedrick Mills in the final game against Rutgers and say like, hey, that's a step in the right direction. Or you could look at the first, what, seven games of the season for Dedrick Mills and then all eight games for all the other guys and say that Nebraska didn't have a running back averaging more than 4 yards a carry up until Dedrick Mills had like half of his yardage on the season in that one game. So yeah, they do have to be better and they are going to have one guy really kind of take hold of that position because to this point, the coaching staff has been sort of adverse to going with a by committee approach. They have wanted to find that guy that can be an every down ball carrier. And I mean, like we could talk about like, well, they didn't really live it with Wandale Robinson. Well, they kind of did because Wandale turned into their every down ball carrier. But like if they're going to go to a by committee approach, if they're going to just bite that bullet and do it, Greg, do you think this is a room that is capable of doing that? Do you even like that strategy?
I do not like the strategy. I also don't know that they have the type of room to do that. And the thing that would worry me about doing it by committee, if you were talking about say three guys or maybe, you know, four, because they have the bodies to do that. Everyone is so inexperienced outside of step. So like, I feel like getting game reps and going through all of that is the thing that would really help speed up the development of those guys. And how quickly can you do that if you're utilizing a by committee approach? Like, I feel like when they get to the first game against Illinois, like they need to have settled on two guys, maybe a third that kind of can get sprinkled in and then and roll with that. Like, I just think that would be more beneficial. And I think that would raise the level of expectation for what this group could be.
That's fair. And I don't think there's ever been a running back that's ever been in favor of a by committee approach. I think they all want to be like, nope, give me 25 carries and let me go to work. Let me kind of get into the rhythm of the game. Greg, Thursday, May 20th, Friday, May 21st, whenever you are watching this, viewer at home, or on your computer or whatever, or Saturday or whatever. May prediction, who is the starter on August 28th?
Man, I'm going to go with Gabe Irvin right now, reluctantly, because I'm going to go with Gabe Irvin. It's nothing to do with him. It's just really tough to pick which person you think it is, but I'm glad you time-stamped it so that you can ask me this again on June 20th.
Is it bad that my answer might potentially have changed from like 2-3 weeks ago when we did the depth chart projection. Is that a bad thing?
No, because I think it's fair. Who did you have the first time, remind me?
I had Stepp as the number one and Scott as the number two. And my justification for Stepp was that he's still the safe and I thought odds on favorite. Okay. Seemed like the safe play. I might go with Scott. Yeah. I might do it. Okay. I don't know. But this is, I mean, and you and I have talked about this at a lot of positions. Like, this is the thing, is there's so many unknowns, which makes it hard to project, but also makes it fun to talk about. So
that's
kind of where we're at. Thanks for doing this, Greg. Again, thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me again. Also listen to the Straight Up Breakdown podcast and Derek, I steal my plug.
That's going to do it for this week. Make sure you are reading HailVarsity.com. Make sure you're subscribed to Hail Varsity. Subscribe to all the podcast offerings we have as a proud part of the Herd App Media Network. Shouts to Sasha for producing this. And like I said in the beginning, to you guys for listening each week. I appreciate it. But remember, if you have not already, go leave a 5-star review. If you leave a 4-star, a 3-star, a 2-star, or God forbid, a 1-star review, I will find you. I will track down your email address and I will spam message clips of the Scott's Tots episode of The Office straight into your inbox. Nobody wants that. Nobody has tested me yet. I kind of want it to happen, actually, but I don't want a 1-star review or a 0-star review. Those would be terrible. It would hurt my feelings. Be safe. Talk to you guys next week.
A Herd App Media Production.